And we're live. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Build It Better. So excited to be here today. My name's Tracy. You can follow me on Twitter at Lady Leet. And I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Lush.
She messes with me. Sometimes she says my name and sometimes she doesn't. And I like there's
I
when
see
she
your
doesn't,
eyes.
There's just yeah, there's an awkward pause when she doesn't. And I'm like,
he's like waiting
Ben
for it.
Lush, yeah.
What's she gonna do? What's she gonna do? Yeah. Ben's amazing. And you can follow him on Twitter at Ben Lush. And then we are joined by our lovely guest today, Manu.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for inviting me here. Like we were in at the beginning and we were waiting in the backstage. I was trying to see, oh, we can talk with Ben a bit before this starts. So I'm very excited to be here.
I'm excited because Manu, I got to be honest, like I was in Croatia with Mieszko. And your name came out of his mouth like dozens of times. And Mieszko,
he's in love with me for some reason.
He is. And like, here's the thing with Mieszko. He was my manager at Google for a while. And he just thinks you are the cat's pajamas. He thinks you're the coolest thing ever. So I'm excited to talk to you.
But Manu, you have to introduce yourself.
Well, I'm Manu, as you well said. I'm from Spain. I'm from a small city called Valladolid. And I've been doing like coding almost 20 years. Like I start with 8 and I very quickly realized that I like to build all these things for another developers. Like very quickly I started doing something and then it was like very quickly into the API. That was what I always enjoy. So now I'm working in Builder, building quick. But before I also work in the core team of Ionic, which maybe some of the audience know about it. It's a framework to build like applications, right? Using the web technology. And here we are.
Nice. Thank you. Thank you for the intro. It's cool that you found a love at an early age to build stuff for developers. Cause you know, building stuff
was
for developers
more realized later, right?
Oh
like,
yeah.
At the beginning was like backend. I did some backend like games, but when I was doing games, I went into the game engine, right? I love that.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
When I was doing like backend, I did like a framework for Go. It's called Gene. And then when I do web, then it was like Ionic, you know, like I always enjoy it more that than the product, right? But there was something that came later. Like I actually realized it later, like actually always end up doing this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I've always like, you could put me on a bunch of like feature tasks and inevitably I figure out that there's some framework piece that I want to build that's
exactly
related to it. Like, and I'll go work on it. So you said you started when you were 8, 20 years ago. I have to laugh because that makes me think, man, I was a grown up then and I could have taken this kid out for ice cream and then been like, wow, this kid's smarter than I am. I don't know if I should pay for his ice cream now.
It was just like building like some, I don't know. I actually remember, just maybe it's a bit off topic, but I actually remember I was copy pasting like things, like maybe it was the first thing maybe in PHP. It was at some PHP stuff. And I remember I copy pasting some like SQL things. And I remember once, I cannot recall this, like one of my moments, like where I came up something by myself. It was not copy pasting. It was actually getting the result of a query and then copying that and then using that thing in a different query. Well, of course, it's very stupid, like to do like two queries, like when you can do like a very big SQL that does both things. But for me, that was like kind of the one of the first moment that I actually created something by myself. And it was like, oh, this is more than copy pasting. This is like, you can do new stuff. That was exciting.
That's pretty cool. Tracy, do you remember you had that kid? There was like a little kid that came and gave a talk when we were at Google in Silicon Valley.
Yes.
Blew my mind. I don't even remember exactly what his talk was. His talk was about something like using TensorFlow or something, right?
I thought it was Angular.
I thought it was Angular and TensorFlow. And I'm just like, what? Yeah. Anyway.
For me, in one of these conferences last year, I met Lucas. I think this guy leads the Dino deploy. He's one of the core developers and he's like 20 and he's like so smart. And he's like, dude, I'm a super fan. And I was like, just like hanging out with him. And I was like, you're like a kid.
I'm a
super
fan. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. That's great. Yeah. We're being replaced.
Yeah, that's good though. That's good. I need to be replaced. I'm okay with that.
Someone is going to be, it's either to go with some keto or some ChatGPT 6. Yeah. No?
You're going to be vintage and then, you know, exclusive.
Pretty good.
It's like
pretty
those good. COBOL developers, you know, you're like, what? You do what? It's going to be us in 10 years.
That's true. You know what else we'll be talking about for 10 years is the difference between hydration and resumability.
Maybe all right. Not 10 years, but
that was the most awkward setup of all time, but I want to talk about it because I can't tell you how many discussions I've had with people, really brilliant people, that were like, why do they keep talking about resumability? It's just hydration. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Are they the same thing?
Money. It's not. I really believe it. I know right. that in front end we do a lot of like come up with words, you know, like, and one of them is like incremental static side generation, which is like a fancy name for a cache, CDN cache.
Yeah.
But I really believe that, and actually this comes from some like conversations, like we all have conversations with other like Astro, the core team and Ryan. And I recall like being surrounded with them in one of the last conferences. And they were like, actually I pointed to Ryan, like, what do you think? And he knows, he like talked so much with Mishko about this. And he actually said, I think it's kind of hydration. I was so pissed. I was like, Ryan, come on, you understand this. And it was kind of my task for the day to come up with some like example or some like way to make it obvious that is kind of fundamentally a different thing. And then it's interesting because then everything comes down to like what it, like to define hydration, right? Because then at some point it's like, even if you come up with the biggest example, it's like what it is, right? And the thing is the two camps, right? If you understand a jQuery app where you just maybe you do like you use Ruby on Rails or whatever to render the page, and then you put some jQuery to add interactivity. And if you say that's hydration, then okay, then resumability is hydration, right? Like then everything is hydration, basically. But I think it's not, because otherwise it loses the meaning of it. Like we can talk about anything. We will just be like, hydration is running JavaScript. And I think that will be not useful. Like that will be interesting to have a term that basically means the same thing as running JavaScript, basically, right? So I think that we agree on that. Like we cannot call jQuery to be hydration because then it loses the meaning. And I think that the big realization is that any hydration. And then like any last name, you know, you call it like partial hydration, hydration, whatever, all of them need to run code, which is user code unrelated to the, whatever the action is, unrelated to it, to recover state. It can be very small, very big, you know, islands. It can, you know, even if you call it automatic islands, it means that you need to kind of run some code, user code, to kind of like wake up some part of the thing. And the easiest way to see this is that if you just put console logs in all your components, in all the hydration, you will see all this console log happen first, like pop, 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 pop. And at some point, they click console log. It doesn't matter. Maybe you can make it small, but partial or whatever, but you will always see this pattern of running code before and then you run the actual action. And when you see resumability is backwards, resumability doesn't matter how complicated the application is. You will always see that the first thing that executes, the very, 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 very first thing is the event that the developer wrote, nothing else. After that is when things might happen. It means like the hydration is like, I need to do work before the action, and the resumability is, well, I will handle the action. And then depends on what the action does, maybe I need to, you know, re-render things or not. So it's fundamentally a different algorithm. And it's that fundamental that you cannot easily add resumability properties to a framework that is, it was not designed by that from the beginning. And this is something that Ryan can attest. Like, he was trying so hard to think how this can be done in a thing like Solid. And it's just not possible in that sense. Maybe there is some trade-offs, but it's not just possible. And hydration is always possible. You can always like make it parts of it. And I think that core difference deserves a different term, because if it doesn't have a different term, I think it's also it creates more confusion. And I think it's big enough to deserve it. And I will keep saying, because it will be very unfair, in my opinion, to say this is whatever hydration, because it's not.
Yeah. So the way that I've, and maybe I'm dead wrong about this, because I've explained it to other people before. And the way that I've explained it was basically that if you imagine like React, and React has, it has some state that it has to know about for like its render tree, right? Like, you've got to render all this JSX, and then it has to have that state so it can diff it against the next state to know what it needs to change. And if you already have DOM that came from the server in the form of HTML and you render it, then you need to run all that code once so it has the state so you can run it again to know what has changed. And like if that's hydration, where like resumability is, you don't need to do anything but exactly what you need to do to like make your app work. Like, you don't have to run a bunch of stuff to get some state in sync first and then run stuff again to actually make it work.
It is 100%. And then it has properties that, like, I think this is, we are talking about things that might be very abstract, right?
Right.
What we're talking about. Then you can actually see these kind of like properties that emerge, the one I describe, or the fact that, for example, Solid, or which I'm going to say is one of the most efficient in terms of how it, you know, it renders the things. If you have some interactivity in some component, you will see, even if you do all the like optimization you can, you will see that at least the component that's changing is being downloaded and is being executed at least once. And in Quick, you get to many, many examples where you interact with the application, and because of our fine-grained render, we don't even download the template. Like, we can actually re-render without downloading the template. Like, we never download the template. Like, literally, it's serialized the reactivity tree. Like, Solid, Svelte, everyone at least needs to run the code to kind of recover the reactivity. And in a framework like it's resumable, you end up with situations where you have parts that change, like HTML that change, and you have reactivity, and not only reactivity, like the DOM is changing, and at the same time, you're not downloading any template. You are not downloading the component, like not a single byte of it. And it's not possible to pull this off if your framework depends on hydration. It's impossible, because hydration comes with the idea that you don't need to serialize things. So that's also a constraint. Like, in order to achieve this, you have to make things serializable. And when you design around hydration, it's like, well, that's not a problem. It doesn't have to be serializable, because I'm going to run it anyways. So it's hard to make it after. It's hard to make resumable an afterthought.
Right. I don't even know how you would be like, oh, I'm going to make React resumable. I mean, that's just the algorithm that it runs is impossible. But I'd imagine, though, that there's situations in Quick where things do get de-optimized to like more of a hydration sort of algorithm. Is that true or no?
No.
Like, even if you've got like nested, like repeated views or anything like that?
No. Nothing. I think the only case is we get points where we need to kind of download a template. But that would still happen after the event, right? It will happen after the event, and then we will like download the component, because maybe there is some structural change in the HTML, so we actually need to download the template. But it will be actually for only that component, even if it's just children or it has parents. And actually, there are many things that are very tough. Like, we are able to even do this when the content projection change. And if you think about the complexity of this, it's like, we are able to make a parent to hide and show children, like by changing the content projection without ever downloading or re-executing the children. It's very hard to do, like if in a framework that doesn't have that restriction, to add it later.
Ben's like, is this real?
No, I know it's real. I know it's real because I sat with Mishko and was looking through it.
I think the most the biggest innovation in Quick is not like the resumable stack. I think like a lot of frameworks outside the mainstream frameworks, and I'm thinking about HTMLX or some other things have properties like this. Like you don't need to rerun things, right? It's because actually they were designed more from, I will actually kind of build this in PHP on Ruby on Rails, and then I want to add some interactivity, and it has very similar like performance characteristics. I think that the big innovation of Quick was, how do we make this and still make it have like the DX of a view of React or Svelte or Angular, right? The big innovation I think is more like, how do we get the same DX, the same way that people are used to how to author components, but have these nice properties. That was the very hard part. If you see the first commit of Quick, it was not nice. Like it was not something you would like to use. So a lot of work was into the DX, into the DX part.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, obviously, I've been around long enough that I remember developing things before there was any Angulars or knockouts or anything like that. And we built stuff that was very performant on very slow connections, very, very slow connections with very crappy browsers and very, very crappy computers that were interactive, that undoubtedly would be very performant now, on modern equipment. But yeah, it's the developer experience sucked back then though too, like, really bad. But it's funny that we're coming full circle, right? Because there was a while where it was like, okay, well, you build this client app and it's a standalone application, and then you have this backend API that it talks to. And it was like, oh, that's pretty cool, because then if you have a mobile app, it can talk to the same API, or if whatever, it can talk to the same API. And now we're getting to where you still have the API, but there's like a tier in the middle of it that's backend where we're doing server-side rendering, right? And Quick does that as well. Is that true that you do server-side rendering as well? So, well, you have to in order to have resumability, right? So, whenever you're dealing with this stuff, we were talking about a little bit beforehand about like how people have issues with the separation of concerns. Like, because before it'd be like, I've got my ASP Classic or my PHP code, and then I've got some JS file that you're downloading. And, you know, there are some obvious distinctions there.
Yeah.
I have a funny story about that regardless, but like, how do you separate those things with something like Quick?
I have like in my mind, like four trains of thought. So I don't know how I'm going to like kind of go through without jumping randomly from different ideas. I think when like developers get into a new technology that they are not very familiar with, very quickly the separation of concerns is by technology. So when there's a very like a developer doesn't have a lot of experience on something or something very novel, very, very new, the separation, I think it tends to be by technology. Because it's the easiest one to separate with. It's like, okay, this different technology, different concerns. I think at some point you actually go through use cases and experience and say like, well, these things are connected. Like these things are kind of, they are related, right? And I think when that happens in web, there was like all these like single page components. Like how many times you have a model, the view and the controller, how many times do you reuse the same controller for five different views? Like never.
All the time.
Yeah, sure.
No.
That was like a thing, but you have to still go through this system, which is beautiful in terms of like you know, like separation of concern. Well, not beautiful, but it was like, yeah, yes, very, very clean, right? Very clean. And then like, this doesn't make sense in practice. So it was like this boom of like a single component, like single five component framework, like Vue or Svelte, like say like this kind of bullshit. Like there's not a lot of value on it. And I think they got it right. I think like React, Vue, Svelte, and pretty much any modern framework, they recognize that separating by technology in that sense is not most of the times the best approach. Even though in many of them, you still can, which is something I also want to talk. Like, I think the very sweet spot is that when they don't force you to. Like, if you still want to separate because in your use case, you still think that that's relevant, that's good. And I think that's what React does very well. Like in React, you can still like split things if you want. Like you can have the JSX here and you can kind of like reorganize how you, whatever you want. Like you can, it's still like TSX, but you can have a file that is kind of like only the template. Like you can keep the logic separated. You don't have restrictions in that sense.
I don't do a lot of Angular development, but do you know how crazy it drives me when people have like a separate HTML file for their component in Angular? It's like, why do I want to jump back and forth between files? Like, what are you doing here? These two things are married. I hated it even when it was a recommended approach. I used to think like, why these two things are intimately related. Like they cannot possibly exist on their own. Well, why are they two different files? Like it drove me crazy.
So this happened very recently. We are trying to make Quick, it's kind of like a wide open, but, and I don't know exactly what it means right now, but trying to make Quick like AI first. So like because I think it's going to be also very important. Like when you look into why you choose React or why you choose a technology, you think, okay, the ecosystem is big, the community is big. And this is going to be good because I can hire a lot of people. If I have questions, I can ask and there will be always someone to help me. And if I choose someone that no one uses, I'm like, well, I'm alone, right? I think in the future also, like how good AI or GPT or these models at this technology is going to be relevant. Because if you get to the point, React is one of them. Like a lot of people like starting to use React and you can actually, like it can help you a lot to use like GPT to solve your specific things. I don't know so much about other frameworks, but I feel like React is the one it does the best. And I think when we have this tweet that we are in the era of AIX, where before we were designing for humans at UX, then we were making APIs and code for developers, DX. And now we are always, and this is not something only coming from Quick, Dan has mentioned this, like Dan Abramov, there is like, there is also a Vue story from developer there realizing this, like when we write docs now, we have to kind of think a bit because we can be targeting GPT, right? And when you do this, you realize you have actually like a very nice framework to think about separation of concerns because you can think of when you put things separated, they're going to make kind of GPT a harder task to think. And so when you actually write docs and come up with patterns that help GPT, it's actually a good way to think about separation of concerns. Because if in the same line, you're going to having to be thinking about two concepts, it's going to do very well. Tailwinds, GPT is so good at tailwind. It's not that good at other ones. Think about that.
That's good because I'm no good at tailwind, so that's very helpful that GPT can help me with tailwind. So I look at it, I'm like, I don't know what this does.
I'm not the biggest fan, but just think about how it kind of makes sense because this thing is like generating tokens and DOM at the same time is making a div, is making the right style for it. It doesn't have to kind of keep it in memory or like keep it in the context and then like much later write the styles for that thing he put in the top. And I think that also that helps us as humans. Like we have reduced cognitive load when we don't have to keep so much things in memory when we are writing code. And I think when we more design in terms of how developers are going to read this, how developers are going to write this, it might be an even better way to think about separation of concerns and the final use case, that what they want to achieve, than saying a server goes here, client goes here. I think it's kind of like a dumb, very simple way to look at things that is not helpful for computers and is not helpful for humans.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. The
that's right. Like a whole nother podcast, AIX.
Yeah.
It should be like
I want to write a blog, but I think we need to put the stuff together because there's so many.
Hold on. That's like 2022 thinking, Manu. You don't want to write a blog post. What you want to do is prompt ChatGPT to write the blog post for you. And then
for AIX. Have the AI write the blog post to explain why AIX is important. AIX.com is also taken, which kind of sucks, but you know.
Did you just check that?
I did.
That's funny. All right. So my story about separation concerns with server code and front end code it's probably been 15 or 16 years ago. I worked I was a contractor and I had this short stint at Nationwide Insurance.
Mine is like, I was 10.
Yeah. Yep. That's about right. Back in those days, our jobs weren't under threat by robots, but we did have some really crappy technology to work with. And I was working with ASP Classic and JavaScript. And even weirder, this was actually using like...
it was ES3, no? Or something, no? ES...
Yeah. And it was all... This is all stuff that was only going to run in Internet Explorer. And we were using XSLT to transform XML into like DOM, which was also kind of amazing. So XSLT is this whole like structure-based sort of templating language. Anyways, it's a whole thing. It's interesting. It's scary. No one will ever want to use it.
Ask
but
ChatGPT if you're curious.
So I don't even know if ChatGPT would be able to do that. It's so old that like there's probably not a lot of examples for it to work off of. But there's this guy that worked for Nationwide at the time, and I'm not going to say his name, but he'd come up to me and he'd be like, so how do you tell me what's wrong with this? Or help me with this problem. And then every time I ever helped him, he'd get upset with me that I was wrong. And like the funniest one I ever saw is one time he had this code where it's ASP Classic. So ASP Classic, to describe it, it's a templating language where you would literally, there'd be like these tokens you'd put in that were like less than percent sign equals whatever the variable is you want to write out, percent sign greater than. And that's how you like kind of put it in there. And he had this code where he was trying to use the server to write JavaScript, right? So he had like this templating syntax in there, and he had a JavaScript variable of like var x equals string and then plus a token, a server-side token that was going to write something out plus something else. And he couldn't figure out why that wasn't working, and it was because it was writing out like a code, like basically what JavaScript would interpret as a variable in there and not like the string. Anyways,
the value, right? The actual.
Yeah. So it was just totally 100% like he was using server side code to render client side code, and the client side code he was rendering was not correct. And of course I tried to tell him this and I was wrong and I was the worst person ever. And he got mad at me and went back to his desk and struggled for a while, but yeah,
I just want this scene here. No, I just want it here.
But that's where we used to be with server side and client side code working together, as you used to be in a world where you would render the HTML and maybe even your JavaScript on the server and then send it down and bananas.
I think we are taking good ideas. Like there's things that, this is already was done like 10 years ago by ASP. Like we get these like so many times, like with, especially with the forms, you know, like the it's like, oh, the, of course. But I think you always need to be, if you want to criticize things, like you always should be able to like at least like understand it, right? And I think many things look, the more dumb it looks to you like fast, probably is because you're not understanding it or you're or missing like a point of it, right? Like if something you see and it's like, again, an example, tailwinds, it always sounds more so stupid to me. Like I look at it and I was like, and then like, no, it needs to be something. Like it needs to be, I'm missing something at least. Maybe it's right. Not my thing, but I have to be missing something.
I like tailwind actually. I can't read it when I look at it because I don't use it enough, but like the principles are there. Like I see the value in it. I think the developer experience kind of stinks a little bit in my opinion, but I definitely see the value in it when it comes to building applications. So
yeah, and you form your opinion. I think like we have developers, like professional developers, we have we've been doing code for a long time. We have all these like ways of thinking, like very like best practices, right? Like it's a bad practice to do the X, right? And you and completely isolated, like it's a bad practice to do X. But where do you hear that from? Like, because maybe in PHP, yeah, like that's a bad idea, right? But is it a bad idea in Next? You know, like, or maybe not, or is it a bad idea in Angular? Like, maybe not. I think also like, it was funny now with the two data binding, like, is bad? Well, wait, why? And in which context it was bad, yeah. Right?
yeah, the two-way data binding thing is, it's funny. Like, I think it's one of those things where two-way data binding is bad when you have like instant side effects or something. Like if you're like instantly like, oh, this updates this, which updates this, like, and then you've got a problem. But or in the scheduled case where you're like, oh, things updated, schedule like where you're going to pull the values through and with signals, yeah. Also known as MobX, also known as knockout, like whatever, yeah. Like it's everything is old is new again, of course. Like it's okay in those environments.
Right. I think, for example, but it's hard to see. Like I think, like for example, with the two-way data binding, for me, the problem is like having mutable props from the inside. Mm-hmm. Like when you are able to change props upwards, that's problematic. The prop itself.
Yeah. But you're using them like events.
Because you are changing the signal, which actually becomes like you're not changing the prop. It's different. You're not changing the prop. You're changing you're kind of like pushing a value. And I think another one is like making changes from the rendering itself. That's problematic as well. Because you can get what you describe. You can get like in kind of like a weird loop. But like modern frameworks that allow this kind of thing like Svelte, they don't have these problems. Like when you use the Vine value, they don't have the same problem that others have in this sense. So there is, when people say it's bad, or Vue doesn't have these problems in that sense. But it's like, oh, I hear that this is bad. And it's like, maybe just go a bit in detail to understand the
difference. Well, with signals, I could do a whole diatribe about signals, but the thing with signals is it's not really two-way data binding. What it actually is doing is the same. It's one-way data binding in which you're saying, hey, I have an event that's coming. Like, so what you'd normally do in one-way data binding with like a React component or something is you'd be like, okay, push a prop in. And then when the inside of this says, I have something to change, it events out. And then you push a new prop in. And like signals are doing exactly that. Signals are saying, hey, something's changed. That's an event that comes out. And then the value then is pulled, which, you know, is unidirectional. So it's one of those things where people are, there's just an abstraction over the thing they're already going to do anyways. And it's one of like now Angular's got these signals and you got these people that are, they're okay developers or maybe senior developers, but not like super into like the deep knowledge of what's going on. And they're like, well, what about signals versus observables? And it's just like, dude, they're totally like, you've got an observable of void notifying said signals that, I mean, not exactly in Angular's case because of how they implemented it, but roughly speaking, like MobX and all these other things will have like an observable of void that says, hey, something's changed. And then there's a bunch of getters you pull things through and that's it. Like there's no, so it's like a slightly more complicated version of the same thing. You could build them out of observables and getter functions or whatever, but like, it's not, I don't know. It drives me a little bit crazy. What about this versus this? And it's like, dude, you're,
It's like best practice.
Yeah. It's like Manu's conversation with the hydration versus sustainability. Yeah. It's like the constant education but that
it's
needs to happen.
And I think like it's we need to find a way to talk about it and describe it in a way that makes sense to everyone. I think also like when you describe things, Mishko actually told me about this. I think it's a very interesting idea. I don't know if he actually never like actually Google it. So maybe I'm saying something that's a bit crazy, but he talked about, resistance matching or what is the word that describes it? Resistance in a circuit more in general way? It's the impedance.
Yeah.
Impedance matching. He said that when you have two circuits and you connect them, and these two circuits have a very different impedance, like between these cables that are connecting, you end up with a lot of heat and losses and stuff. So a lot of things, when you connect two things, is kind of matching the impedance. And I think it happens with communication, right? Like the point is that this is important for communication. Like when we talk, and maybe at a different level that we talk to another, like someone starting or to GPT. And I think that's kind of also the point. Like you need to match what that thing. So in a way, it's very hard because sometimes we create new things and they are very hard to explain. That makes sense and it sounds exciting. Like maybe you say, well, it's kind of like this. And
that's why our jobs will never go away. Everyone's like, what's going to happen? It's like,
yeah.
You know. I think Signal has this problem. It's like, then someone will get excited and someone will be like, oh, this is the same as this, you know?
Yeah, it's I'm always of the camp of this is the same as this. I'm always that annoying guy that does that. Because like, I can't help but see like, you break things down in their smallest parts and what do you have? You have variables and functions. Like there's no, like no matter what you build, at the end of the day, it's just a bunch of abstractions over variables.
That's a Turing machine.
So, I mean, like you look at people be like, oh, what about classes? And it's like, you do understand this is just a way to group a bunch of functions and then pass values to them with like a context, basically closure. Like they're like, you, like it's not like there's, it's not magically different. I don't know. These things are, I can't help but see it. And every single time I see it, I'm just like,
For me, the beautiful thing about the APIs is not what they do. It's how they, in a very smart way, restrict the user to be successful without food cans. Like how to, like a very bad API, I will say, like you can achieve the same thing in terms of like, you can achieve the same thing. But I feel like a good API or like interesting idea like Signals is that it allows you to achieve what loves like the majority of the developers that use that technology to achieve their goals without doing it wrong. And it's easy if the API is super simple, like, but Signals have to solve the whole like state, like solving the whole state. That's why there's like new state management, because it's always like, how, that's why there's, it's not a solved problem, right? It's always like a human aspect.
Yeah.
And but both, like all of them do the same thing. Like you can implement the same thing with all of them. I think that what excites me is that the properties of this API is like, wow, this API is very hard to do it wrong. Like it's very obvious the good way. And I think with Signals is, it has nice properties in that sense. When you get it, it's simple enough to get it. It's what people say that you don't have to use MIMO that often, or you don't have to use callback and all these APIs. It's just like you don't have to. You have to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is exciting about it more than.
I'm in full agreement.
Is that, right?
There's the other part of it that I wish there was more like thought around, which is the APIs for interop between all of these different things. Like that's from like an implementer's perspective, the thing that drives me craziest is when someone's like, I invented this new thing. And you're like, great, how do I consume that in async await? Or how do I convert that to this other type that I need to use all the time? And they're like, I don't know. I don't even like that API. Like, that's a bad API. And it's like, dude, but that's not the way the world works. The world works in such a way that I have to make this work with this third party thing that's made with the thing you don't like. And therefore, you know, like promises. I don't like promises very much. Guess what? I have a lot of promises I have to deal with. So what? Like, you know.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, yeah.
Well, this is such a fun conversation. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel like we need to like have another podcast. But I mean, Ben is actually going to be talking to Ryan from Solid on the Modern Web podcast soon. Hot Takes, Signals podcast. Yeah. So that should be fun.
Some intellectual fight.
Yeah, yeah, it's going to be great. Thank you so much,
people
Manu.
Get like we are like mad, but it's like so. Yeah. It's always fun to
like have to, lively to
do these things without thinking this is my solution is better or just like just talking about these things. No?
I can tell you for a fact, Manu, that my solution is not better. The end.
Manu is like, well, I know my solution is.
Quick is fantastic. I think it should take over the world.
Yeah.
I think it's
but yeah, definitely plan. Check out Quick. Quick has a great community, by the way. I mean, you guys have such an active Discord and
I think it's in this moment where it's blooming, right? It's the people that get it gets extremely excited.
Yeah.
Even like we have people that even like in they were part of the Stencil and from Angular and I never seen them this excited. I know them for a long time.
It's really fun.
And I think it's just someone left in the co-working.
And you've got Mishko and I love Mishko. I love that guy.
And Mishko loves Manu, so
we're components team as well. Like it's like all the pieces there. Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Manu, for joining us. It was really good chatting. You can find Manu on Twitter, on Quick's Discord if you feel like you need to have some hot takes with him. Yeah.
It's here.
It's actually on the other side.
Oh yeah, it's weird.
It's
like mine.
Oh, really?
Am I pointing at mine right now?
No.
Am I pointing at mine?
That's like mine. There.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. That's funny. All right.
All right, y'all. Well, have a really good day, and we'll see you next time.
You too.
Yeah. See ya.